Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Birmingham Nick.
Birmingham Nick. You got all the insider tea, man.
That's me. It's not Kermit over here just drinking my tea in a hotel room.
Feeling okay, bud?
Feeling okay. Potting on the go. It's a long day and just had a hotel salad for dinner. So hopefully
a hotel salad, man.
No. It was like one of those pre-made ones you get at Publix.
Yeah, that's unrighteous.
Yeah, it was not great. We're getting dinner after this with some other reporters, but it's been a long day. Still got to do some writing, but it's good. For me, this is like the start of football. So for me, this is like I got to get back into the mode. It's just a long day.
Like two-a-days, right?
Yeah, man, they outlawed that, except for reporters. Except for reporters. We got two-a-days. But it's good. A lot less people here.
Dan, how was your weekend? You're not in Birmingham doing anything exciting like that. Did you dance anywhere this weekend?
No, sir. After my 6-7 week bender, whatever it was on, I used this weekend. I used the weekend to relax.
Yeah, it's a two-month bender.
So I was looking back on it. I mean, I had stuff for like 6 or 7 weeks in a row, like 4 to 5 days a week. Like, my body's not built like that anymore, you know? So I did some thinking, did some recollection of my mind, body, and soul this weekend, and ready to be back at it this weekend. We got an event for Silk and his birthday. DJ Pauly D's coming to town. What else is going on? There's all sorts of stuff going on.
That's crazy. So he just said he found his inner chi, and then he rattles off a list of other drinking events that are going to happen.
Yeah, you see the vibes.
It sounds more like a tire fell off, and he's just waiting to put a new tire on
at the NASCAR pit.
The track. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I said NASCAR. They're quick. It's a quick pit change.
Yeah. See, exactly. That's right. You can't live the life you want to live by just sitting around waiting for fun to come to you. You have to go find it.
That's a fact, Dan.
So I said I spent this weekend and relaxing my mind, body, and soul. I didn't say I'm going to spend the rest of my life relaxing. So we're going to be back at it. We're going to be dancing. We're going to be partying. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to have ourselves a weekend. So can't wait to tell you guys about it next week.
So your mind, body, and soul was all on the bender, eh?
Yes.
It takes a toll.
It does. I'm getting old.
Not as good as you once were.
Oh, no, I am. I'm probably even better than I once was. But I don't recover as quickly.
That's true. I was about to say Silk's better. I'm definitely not as good as I once was.
Oh, I'm not good at all. You don't see me doing any nighttime activities, bro. All the activity you see me doing, even at the Kush, I was daytime activities, baby.
I did see that. Now that I think back on it, Silk, a lot of the stuff you do is brunch time, lunch time, early afternoon, early evening.
Sir. If anything going on after that, man, the staff going to take care of it. But I'm in bed by 8, 9 o'clock, bro. I'm washed.
That's elite washed.
That is elite washed.
But I'm also up at like 4:30 in the morning, so my day starts early.
But that's elite washed too.
Yeah, yeah. Like enjoying a nice sunrise. Huh? What? Yeah.
Dan catches the sunrises, but it's like just getting back from.
Yeah. Self and I are up at the same time.
We're passing each other on the highway.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I'm excited to see you on Saturday. So, Nick, hopefully you can make it. Let's get into the – oh, Silk, we didn't even ask you. How was your weekend? You had a big event with Tracy Howard this weekend.
Oh, yeah, man. I had a great time this weekend. Thanks for asking, Dan. Fun, man. I wanted to kick off some content. Originally, it was supposed to kick off with Janoris. Had that cancellation a few weeks ago. So I was like, you know what? Let me reshift and redo some things. We're doing some visual content at the Kush House. So I had Tracy Howard came in. I got him to admit some things in that recruitment and some decision-making that he made. It's going to be some fiery content, man. We cooked a whole pig. I had some Cuban guys come up from South Florida, cook a whole pig. We did some magical things, man. It's going to be dope. I'm excited to do visual content. I got some Gator players lined up. Got some more UM alum lined up. Some Florida State guys lined up for the fall. It's going to be fun, man.
That's the way to cook it, too. The way they cook that pig. I saw it on your IG story.
Right.
Where they've got like low and slow, they've got it all flattened out. That's what
I don't eat. I didn't eat any of it.
That's just tragic. That's tragic. They have like six whole chickens,
right?
And an entire pig,
right?
And silks like, is there any like tofu?
Yeah, give me the rice and that salad you had. That hotel salad is what I pretty much ate.
No,
he eats what the pig ate before, you know. grains and vegetables.
Pigs eat anything, so I don't know.
Man, oh man. Well, let's get into the show, shall we, boys? Nick, you got a lot to catch us up on. But before we do that, let's give our friends over at Roof Soldier a call. So if you need a new roof, or if your roof is leaking, maybe your insurance company is making you replace your roof, maybe you're getting prepared for a hurricane season, give them a call at 1-877-ROOFS-FL. Again, that's 877-766-3735. Mention Stadium and Gail, get $1,000 off. I had lunch with these guys the other day. Awesome guys. Ron Perez is their general counsel. Great guy, former Gator in the early Spurrier days. So he told us a bunch of Spurrier stories and just a great group of guys over there. So again, roofsoldier.com, 877-ROOFS-FL. All right, Nick, let's dive in the SEC media days. The Gators were represented by Dan Mullen, Zach Carter, and Ventrell Miller. Got a host of topics, so I want you to dive in when you can based on quotes and things of that nature. So big news out of Greg Sankey's speech is he announced that games will not be rescheduled this fall due to COVID. It's up to teams to get vaccinated, and if they don't have enough, they may have to forfeit. Six of the 14 teams have reached the 80% vaccination threshold. The Florida Gators are a team that have not yet met that threshold. But, Nick, can you dive into that a little bit more about what the difference between being above or below the threshold might be?
Yes, I think the science says like herd immunity starts at like 75%. So basically the SEC you can suspend your testing for COVID entirely if you have 80% of your roster that's vaccinated. So they want to get to that point. Obviously, you know, this isn't a dictatorship. You can't, you know, line people up and stick them with a shot if they don't want it. But I think what Greg Sankey is saying is, hey, last year the circumstances were so extreme that we built in all of these avenues to where if something happened and you couldn't play this week, we could shift schedules around. And I think what he's saying right now is we're not going to do that. We can't do that. We're playing a full schedule. There's an option, and if you want to take that option, cool. But look at what happened to NC State in the College World Series. Two guys who weren't vaccinated test positive, then they test people who were vaccinated, and all of a sudden NC State, who's making a run and looked like they had a good chance to win the College World Series, their season's over. So I think what Greg Sankey's saying now is if you don't get tested, that's fine, but that's on you. If you can't play a game because you don't have enough people to play that week, we're not giving you a do-over. You're going to forfeit that game.
Interesting. And then
I like that. Regardless how it play out, man, like the season getting dragged out, trying to reschedule games is too much.
You're playing a full 12 games now and you've only got one bye week. You know, if you miss, you know,
I pose this Alabama,
if Florida Alabama doesn't happen week three because something happens, Alabama, you know, a bunch of kids test positive or Florida test positive, when do you remake that game?
If Bama was to come up sick for that game, I'm going to pretend in my mind that they was chicken shit.
You're going to let everyone know about it.
Yeah. I'm going to talk big trash. That's my thing. Like, if you miss a game like that, how does it hurt your resume trying to make it? Like, if you come up to, like, trying to choose who make it to the playoffs, missing big games like that, does it count against you because you were sick? Like, how does that work out?
I mean, it probably goes to – how do you count it? Do you count it as a no contest or does it count as an L?
I think a forfeit counts as an L, no?
That's a forfeit?
Yeah.
Forfeit. They haven't really said exactly. I think this is probably the strongest Sankey's ever come out. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, we'd probably be getting into that forfeit territory. This is like a State of the Union address. Like when a president meets, you know, in front of Congress, like his speech today is well planned, thought out, looked over, probably people helping him write it. Like, so if he's even bringing that up, even mentioning forfeit, like, I don't think that, like, oh, well, maybe it'll happen. Like, hey, that's probably the road you're heading down. So if something pops up, you're going to end up forfeiting a game. So, like, let's say Alabama, I think Alabama's over under wins losses this year is 11.5.
Mm-hmm.
And if they couldn't play a game, you know, hey, they've already hit the under because they've lost that one game because of a COVID forfeit.
Mm. Yeah, and I know that the Big 12 had their media days last week, so I don't remember if they had a statement of the sort, but I would imagine that it's going to count as an L. I would imagine that most conferences are going to probably do the same, and I think that they need to. I think that that's a strong message of what to do and try to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. So interesting news. It's obviously the biggest news from Greg Sankey. We get into Dan Mullen's speech. Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators were the first team to talk at SEC Media Days. Did any other teams today talk, Nick?
LSU, and there was one other team.
Oh, it was South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina. Right. Once Florida goes, I don't really see anything else because, you know, you go into a room where it's quieter so you can start writing and working. So I saw a little bit of Sankey, but then we go into like a local reporter's room. So even before Dan Mullen hits the stage, it's just like the people who are from Gainesville talking to him. So like I missed the second half of Sankey and then got to talk to Zach and Ventrell and Dan. And it was cool after we just like kicked it with Ventrell and Zach, you know, because they were kind of just like waiting for Dan to finish, and we just kicked it with them and just talking to them, you know.
Off the record.
Just talking to them like off the record stuff, just about NIL. Oh, I thought you had something. And stuff. No. Thought you had something off the record.
Some good shit.
I'm a journalist. We got off the record stuff. We're not going to be divulging that.
Yeah. I get it. You're professional. You don't want to go full Shannon Sharp. We all had like opinions on who we thought would go to SEC Media Day. I kind of threw Ventrell in there just because I knew like senior leadership, and he's like a guy they've been like talking about from that standpoint. What did you get? How did you like Ventrell at senior day?
He's not a good quote in terms of like writing it. So like if you're reading a story, like there's not a lot to it, but he's got such a great personality. And a lot of energy to him, and I think a lot of the guys. So you get asked like the same questions different ways, and a lot of these other media members that like don't know the players will ask you questions and kind of like look for you to get tripped up. And obviously, that's something he was talking to me about today. He was like, they kept like asking me about like Dan Mullen going off against Missouri. Like I'm gonna bash my head coach and say that you know he lost his composure and. And we were embarrassed or something. He's like, what do they think I'm going to say about some of this stuff? So I think he handled himself really well. He's not someone that we talked to a ton before. So I was surprised that they brought him just in that aspect where he hasn't done a ton of media with us. And you kind of want to bring someone who's polished. Like Zach Carter, we've talked to him for years now. And you kind of know exactly what he's going to say. So Ventrell was good today. Not going to give you any, you know, headlines. He's not going to get you in trouble with any bulletin board material, but he was good. He handled everything pretty well.
Yeah, I thought that was a safe pick. I think we all said Zach Carter was going to go. We all thought that three people were going to go to SEC Media Days. Came out a couple days later, it would only be two. I'm surprised that they didn't put Emory Jones or somebody from the offensive side of the ball. You have a defensive lineman and a middle linebacker, but it is what it is. I guess Dan Mullen feels comfortable, right? You have a fifth-year senior and a sixth-year guy, right? So.
Yeah, it's Dan Mullen to the core, man. Senior leadership. I guess Emory's not old enough yet.
I think if
and had, well, what years. About this? I pose this. I like to pose things. I pose this. Like he also mentioned about AI being a quarterback competition. So maybe he didn't send Emory because of that.
There's no competition.
I don't think there's a real competition. I think you have to
threw that lie out there. No. So you don't think I don't think it's a competition, but I do think if Emery don't get this thing going pretty quick, that we can start seeing a lot of AR.
Yeah, I like that take.
Like what? Like what's the leash? Like if he has, and also like how much? Someone asked me today. So
like if I say I would say this. So this I don't want to throw that wild scenario out there. Go ahead.
That's well, just, here's that's this. Just so
too much heat for me.
Typically, you think okay. You won't show much against FAU or USF because you don't have to, and then you got Bama coming. So you want to save some stuff. But you're running it entirely. Dan kind of finally started talking to this point because he was skirting around it in the spring. The offense is going to be entirely different.
Right.
And you can see it, and Emory can look great, and Damian Pierce can look great, and Hendo and all these guys. But you've got to start running stuff because it's only stuff that you've run – in the spring, you wouldn't be calling these plays with Kyle Trask. So how vanilla can you be against USF and against FAU when you're still trying to figure out what can we do well? What do we not do well? How do we hide our weaknesses? How do we, you know, play to our strengths? And then if you're not doing enough against FAU, USF, like I don't see any way.
No, we're going to wax those teams.
I don't see any way like outside of Alabama, you know, outside of injury, that like anyone other than Emory Jones is starting a quarterback week three.
I think it depends. I think it depends on how crisp it looks. I think it depends on how clean it looks. I think that Emory Jones, it
depends on that offensive line, my brother. That's what, like, I think because I like Emory, and they both are dual threat quarterbacks, but one is definitely a better athlete. AR is a better athlete. He's more dynamic in open field. He could do more things. So all of it's going to be dependent on our running game and offensive line. To me, as far as like if these guys are going to stick, or if Emory is going to stick, rather, like if he can't get that going, I don't think like passing, he's going to be able to drop back and be able to make passes and move this offense.
Yeah, I don't know what Anthony Richardson does to solve that problem. You know what I mean? I think that he's a different runner.
He's also a special runner.
Right.
Emory's a good runner, and AR is a special runner, and that's the difference.
No, I agree. But I don't know if the offensive line is that bad that you're pulling Emory. Yeah, I don't know if that gets solved by putting in Anthony Richardson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't wait because Dan says that now. I'm gonna be watching his Twitter the first time Emory has to roll left because the right side got blown up.
I watched Kyle Trask roll left, so I can definitely watch Emory Jones roll left.
Nah, it's probably a little faster this year than it was last year.
Potentially.
Potentially.
I don't expect to see a lot of Anthony Richardson, and we'll get into this buy or sell. But I do think that you'll see him maybe 10% of the time. But I think that Emory Jones is a very, very, very long leash.
Yeah, me too. I think Emory's one and done. I think he has a good season. He sells off into the NFL.
Yeah, I like that take. Nick?
Dang. If you're saying he's one and done, like he's got to have I guess because he's getting a little bit older, but like I thought he could be here potentially two more years, be here in 2022 starting quarterback.
Nope.
I don't see that.
No.
Nope. Yeah. You guys are hard no, sell on that.
Bro. This is it.
Yeah.
He's got one shot.
I think that's all he needs. I think he'll be productive. I think he'll be productive enough. I think he's going to have a real good season. It's not going to be like, oh, he's jumping early. I think he's going to have a good enough season that it makes sense. And also, like, AR is just going to keep getting better, and his ceiling's higher, dog. So he got to get it now, bro. It's only so long you can hold that monster on the bench.
One shot, one opportunity, mom spaghetti.
Yep. That's right. All right. So thanks, Nick. Dan Mullen then spoke about wanting to do away with permanent cross division opponents. This question came up during his discussion about Alabama visiting Swamp for the first time in 10 years. He said that he wants to get rid of cross divisional rivalries to allow for more opportunities for teams to play each other, similar to the way that he did last year. Are you guys in favor of the permanent cross division rivalries that are in place now? Would you be in favor of a different team being our cross divisional rival, or would you want to get rid of them completely?
No, I think we need him for sure. I like Dan. I want to mix it up. I want to play Bama more. I don't want to play LSU and the same West programs we play every single year. Like, I wouldn't mind mixing it up for sure.
So I've grown to love that LSU game. Like, Florida LSU, there's like weird stuff happens. Yeah. I mean, generally the weird stuff is in like LSU's favor, like the fake field goal, Jacob Hester in the fourth downs last year, the fog and the shoe and no Kyle Pitts and all that. I love that game. I would be interested. So like when the college football playoff expands, because it seems like it's going that way, mm-hmm. what is the point of the SEC having divisions anymore mm-hmm. at all? And then just completely scrapping divisions, and then there's no cross-divisional opponents. Maybe you have some yearly rivals, and then you have nine
what
conference games.
What the hell are you talking about, Nick?
I'm talking – so if the college football playoff expands to 12 teams and they're going to add more.
They need to – like, well, how do you do like
– you have a 14-team conference, and that way, you know, you're not going to get a situation where – a team gets left out because they lost in the conference championship or didn't get into the conference championship, something like that. I just think that
right.
with – I think the whole landscape, if it gets bigger, you're going to try to get more teams in. I think getting rid of divisions would give you a better opportunity to have schedules that could get three or four teams in from the SEC potentially if you're having, you know, if you're having a good year versus, well, they didn't even win their division. They didn't get to the SEC championship game.
Right.
I don't know if that matters.
Yeah, it does, because A&M kind of ran into that problem last year.
Yeah,
but A&M also ran into the fact that there was some teams that had better records, and if you're expanding to 12, A&M doesn't get left out, right? I mean, you know, you had an SEC, or you had a playoff a couple years ago with a team that didn't even play in the SEC championship, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if it matters so much. I think that there's going to be a lot of pushback from kind of your older alumni, your bigger voices, kind of your more traditionalists about getting rid of divisions. You know, I think that, mm-hmm. you know, I think obviously you can keep some of them like Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, that kind of stuff. But I think that, you know, when you have something that's in place for what we're 29 years in our current SEC outside of Texas A&M and Missouri coming in, you have a lot of interest in continuity, of a lot of interest in keeping a lot of those same programs. But I don't necessarily think that getting rid of divisions makes the SEC's case better. The SEC already is and will continue to be for the foreseeable future the dominant conference. So I don't know why they would get rid of divisions.
Dan's been doing this for a while. He brought it up when Florida played Auburn, because Florida and Auburn used to be a yearly game. This is all right. This all came about because of the expansion in 2012. But, like, you're not getting rid of cross-divisional opponents. Like, Alabama and Tennessee have played 103 times.
Right.
First starting in 1901. Like, you're not getting rid of that game. And some of the rivalries, like –
Who wants that game so bad?
Those two fan bases. They call
I don't think Tennessee want that ass whooping. They don't want it for real.
It's college football cyclical. There was a time where Tennessee was really good there in the 90s and was just beating Alabama's tail, but I think they haven't won since 06.
Mm. Yeah, they won out of that, I could promise you. I haven't talked to anybody out there yet, but I just go on record saying I think they won out of that deal. But
no, I would imagine that your two most vocal schools are Florida and Tennessee about wanting to get rid of cross-divisional rivalries, not just because Florida's scared of – not just because – Florida's not scared of LSU. I think that idea is ridiculous, but also the idea that – you know, there's some school that their cross-divisional rivalry is Vanderbilt or Mississippi State or Arkansas, right? Like, Florida's is LSU, which has historically and traditionally been a top 15 team. And if I get the chance to get out of playing a top 15 team every year where I can potentially rotate that with a Mississippi State or an Ole Miss, which, you know, historically haven't been as good, like, yeah, I'm going to beat that drum. You know, and I think that the Florida-LSU rivalry has grown a lot over the last decade or so. And I think a lot of it has to do with kind of those weird things that have happened, but I don't think that like college football is lost without a Florida LSU yearly game every year.
It got or Tennessee, up. Alabama.
Tennessee, Alabama. That's just like,
it's mean, like it's us and history. FAU at this point.
Oh Lord.
It's true.
Poor Josh Heupel, whatever Heupel. His name is.
Pray for Eiffel. That man. Yeah, he's pray for him.
Pray. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know if they will ever get rid of the cross-divisional rivalries, but I do like the idea of potentially playing other SEC schools more regularly. And I do think that the way that the schedule got so messed up when they added Missouri and Texas A&M to the SEC, and then they made other schedules and changes and everything else, like the fact that Alabama hasn't been to the Swamp in 10 years is ridiculous. The fact that they haven't, you know, really played Georgia much in the last 13 years is ridiculous. Like, you know, I'm just waiting on some consistency in scheduling.
I mean, Florida's played from 2016 to 18, played Michigan three times.
Oh my God, I hate that game.
That's what I'm saying. So like, weird stuff happens, but it's like you've played Arkansas once.
Yeah,
I would be in favor of going to 9 games. Something that Nick Saban's been beating the door down for. Keep the cross divisional rival, and then you still have two opponents from the other side. So you get to play most, if not all, of the entire conference within, you know, a 4-year career.
Which I think is what we should do. I like that idea.
And people are talking already about, I think Sankey's been asked about it. Scott Strickland's talked about it. Greg Byrne in Alabama has talked about it. With the changing of the college football playoff and all that, like, Scott Strickland's a big proponent of, like, getting rid of these directional games. I think a lot of that is to – they're trying to sell tickets. I'm like, you're not selling tickets to, you know, Samford. Who's going to that game? You've got to try to lump that in into, like, a package. So they're trying to get rid of some of those games and just really go into, you know, an all Power 5 versus Power 5 schedule.
Yeah.
That's going to be – that's how you start really killing college football. And the big programs can't make that money, with the small programs can't make that money with the bigger programs. That's when it really starts getting to like professionalism and whatnot. Because you killed a small school.
Yeah. No, I mean, FAU is going to get a big fat check from Florida. That's going to pay for travel or pay for upgrades. It pays for the program. That's why these, you know, smaller schools play these games, because the money they get to go up and catch an L pays for their program, pays for them to be able to go and recruit and puts them on a bigger stage. But the problem is the Power Five, those conferences have gotten so powerful. Like the other day, I forget what came up, but I was like, the NCAA doesn't have any power over like these. If the Power Five wanted to just dip and be like, hey, we're going to do our own thing for football, we don't need you, NCAA. The NCAA has no like action of recourse against that. And then you're going to like tune into Florida, Alabama, or you're going to watch the NCAA, you know, Georgia Southern versus, FIU.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Emmert basically admitted that, you know, not too long ago. A couple days ago, he admitted that basically they don't really have, you know, much power, and he sees an opportunity if, you know, one of these big conferences or the Power Five want to leave and do their own thing. But I'm with Silk. I mean, these Power Fives get, you know, in cahoots together. They only play each other. I mean, that's what's going to kill college football, because as much as it's, you know, unfortunate to see Florida play Samford or Florida play FAU, and you want to see them play, you know, Michigan or Utah, not Michigan. Nobody wants them to play Michigan anymore. You know, Utah or Arizona, right? A Texas Tech, something different. It's when that only happens and you don't lose in your Appalachian States and your Ball States and these schools that give kids opportunities to play college football and get an education paid for, get opportunities presented to them. That's what the downfall of college football is, because Group of Five football is not going to yield anywhere close to the amount of money for these schools to stay in business and or these athletic programs to stay in business. And that'll be a sad day, but I think it's coming.
Yeah. It's like the Power Five is like the five like mob families, and they're just like ready to cut out this little middleman, and they're just like, we'll just run our own racket. But yeah. I agree with Dan. Like I see it coming, but Silk said it too, that kills all those smaller schools that need that money, that need that exposure from the Power Five, but the Power Five doesn't need them.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to for like warm-ups. Like, you needed that game to kind of figure out some things, man, to sort some things out. Maybe you got a quarterback battle. You can sort that out at versus Towson or something like that, Sanford. Now, like, could we?
Yeah, you had one game injuries that needed to be sorted out at the first game of the season.
Fake suspensions and shit, like that type of stuff.
Some migraines, things of that nature.
But I mean, the bag's just too big now, man. It's coming regardless. I mean, you just can't stop this freight train.
And that's what it is. Like, the money that's about to come, it's crazy. The CBS pays the SEC like $55 million a year to host the SEC on CBS. ESPN's giving them $300 million a year for that same right starting in 2024. Like, the money's changed. The money has completely changed. And now with NIL, I think, we're in some uncharted waters in terms of, the money, and money makes people act in strange ways and change the way they're acting.
Yeah. I think it's coming soon, and I think that you're going to see a lot of it over the next decade. It will be sad to see. It'll certainly be a change to college sports. Speaking of changes to college teams and things of that nature, DeMarcus Bowman is going to be expected to play in 2021 under the one-year transfer rule. We expected him to play, but that's been, officially announced.
Right.
For DeMarcus Bowman. So you guys think, and we'll talk a little bit about it in our buy and sell segment. You guys think he has much of an impact this season?
Is he a senior?
No. I think he's just one of them kids that it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. Mm-hmm. I hope they get him on some special teams, some kickoff, punt return type stuff to get the ball in his hand some type of way. But I think he just makes plays on some special teams or maybe on a package, and the fans going to just start like, yo, we need to see this kid more. But I think Bowman's going to be – Bowman or Linger, one of them two that got top-end speed and that could take, like, the score from anywhere on the field, one of those guys going to make a stamp this year.
You think he's talented enough and if he gets the opportunity that it's like,
yes,
hey,
I'm
going to make you take me off the field, and you're going to look stupid for not putting me on the field.
Yeah, I think he's that good. I do.
He's that guy that just stays on the field. He misses his call to come off, and he just stays there. Happens in hockey a lot. You know, the guy that feels like he's buzzing around the ice won't get the line change, and the other guy that's looking is just like, what the heck? I can see a lot.
I think it's going to be like a game where we're consistent. We're running the ball on somebody pretty good. Guys like Damien are getting 5-6 yards to carry. That type of thing is going down. We're moving the chains. We're winning. And they get spelled for somebody like Bowman, and he breaks like a 50-yarder. And everybody's like, whoa, that 5-6 is good. We're moving the chains. But damn, that's a little bit more sexy. That's how I foresee it playing out.
2nd and 4, you're happy with 2nd and 4 until somebody comes in and turns a 1st and 10 into another 1st and 10, right, 50 yards downfield.
Right.
I'm looking forward to those days. Let's see. In some other quotes, there was a question about Jaden Hill by a local reporter of where Jaden Hill's from. Dan Mullen said that it looks to be like he's going to be a starter, a cornerback for them. Said Jane Hill's done an amazing job. You're looking at a young guy who was injured in high school, came in, played for us, got over that injury, has continued to work, has had a great mindset, great attitude, obviously really great family, high character, excellent student in the classroom, studies the game. So it seems like Jaden Hill is going to be at least penciled in right now as the other starter on the other side of Kyrie Elam. So
yeah, I mean, that was we've talked about that. We've talked about that on the pod about him being the other one to start. I think, we were talking about, how short is the leash with Emory Jones. I think with a guy like Jason Marshall waiting in the wings, the kid that just transferred from Missouri, I'm forgetting his name. And with those guys waiting in the wings, I think the leash is short on Jaden Hill's starting time. Like, don't get burnt by USF because, someone else will be playing by the time Alabama shows up.
Yeah, I think that that's the one big position battle on outside of safety on defense that I'm looking to see. I mean, I'm a little bit higher on Jaden Hill than I think both of you are, at least higher than Silk is. That's funny. That's probably the only time in my life I'll ever say I'm higher than Silk. And
see what you did there.
So
well played, Daniel.
I appreciate that. So I think that Jaden Hill is going to be a longer term starter than maybe you guys have to or than you guys think. But I really like him. I think that he's a guy that if he's a little bit more physical, spends this this time in the weight room, gets a little bit bigger, I think that he's a more talented player than probably what he's shown, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't have any more Jaden Hill's takes. I don't want no smoke. I'm cool.
Yeah, appreciate that. All right. And then finally, NIL came up. This is a bit of a long – well, I guess this isn't finally. I've got one more. So, again, this is a long quote. It was – the question was, I was wondering your thoughts on name, image, and likeness and how you – how things are going with you guys at Florida. So Dan Mullen said, you're looking at the state law we have in Florida, and anytime you're adapting to a new law within the state and a new law that directly affected our football program, there's a big learning curve. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about the opportunity it presents our players. I think it's great for the players. We had a team meeting on it this morning of continuing to educate ourselves, educate each other, continue to grow and learn with the law. What's the best way to help players operating within the law? You're going to see a large learning curve for a little bit as we get into it. I have a special name, image, likeness lawyer, pardon me, interpreting the state law to make sure we get it the right way. So, you know, name, image, likeness is still something obviously top of mind, still trying to figure things out. I was talking about this with a friend of mine in compliance not long ago, and he said that they don't know the answer to most of those things. Most of the attorneys don't know the answers to a lot of these things, and these things will just get sorted out over time. So we'll be interesting to see, because the Florida law on this is not very large.
Yeah, I didn't know. Sorry, I think my hotel internet is struggling to keep
you got that Johnny Townsend internet.
It got Nick at the Motel 5.
Yeah, I'm in Alabama. Who knows? I didn't know they had internet here in this state.
They definitely got the Motel 6.
I didn't know. To me, it's just like when Dan was saying, is stuff legal? I'm like, yeah, if Chipotle wants to give Zach Carter $500 for an Instagram post, a tweet, and they give him some gift cards, like, yeah, that's legal. So I didn't understand, you know, where the illegality came into it, but not a lawyer. I'm just currently staying in a Motel 6.
Well, Nick, I think you have some potential. I don't know if legal is maybe always the word that it wasn't necessarily the word he was necessarily thinking of, as much as there's, you have a lot of other things. You have compliance issues, right? Like Moe sponsors the Florida Gators. So if Chipotle is sponsoring, you know, a player, does that violate any sort of contract that they have? I don't know. These are just things that I'm pontificating on, right? If somebody,
I like that word.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Pontificating.
I don't know that one. What's that? What do I mean?
You can deductive reason that one. So
he uses another big word to give you a non-definition of word. Right?
Yeah,
it's just the expressing one's opinion. So
in an annoying or pompous way, and I think when you say pontificate, you become pompous.
As I was pontificating. You know, I'd be curious to see if there is, you know, conflict of interest. Obviously, there's rules about which type of sponsorships you're allowed to have. There's obviously going to be questions on payments. There's going to be questions on receiving those payments. There's probably going to be questions on the types of businesses that you're allowed to do. So I think that there's going to take time to figure out a lot of the legal wrangling over this, more so than I think illegality. I don't think that you're getting a lot of, you know, illegal sponsorship opportunities coming up.
Yeah, probably just like a minor slip up. Like there is one. So like, I don't think guys can, like even Florida, let's say California, if a player at UCLA wanted to get sponsored by, you know, a company that sells weed, like I don't think you can do that, even though it's legal in your state. I don't think you can do it. They were told not to do anything with gambling sites. So I don't know what's going on with Barstool.
Barstool the other day set up a separate company that's separate from Barstool.
Okay.
Just called Barstool Athlete or Barstool Athletic.
Because Penn is just a gaming company and Penn owns Barstool. So that would have been like an illegal one for them to do. Illegal in quotes. One thing that Zach Carter said, and he just signed a deal with Vail, which is like a healthy.
That's my friend's company. I went to high school with that guy. I had no idea he signed with them.
He signed a deal with Vail, and he literally just, so he has a team of people that will bring him stuff, and you know, people reach out to him or reach out to his team. But he just literally walked into Vail and was like, "Can I talk to your manager?" The manager put him in touch with their general manager, and he's got a deal. Just a couple of tweets and stuff like that, and he's got some free Vail bowls now. So I think stuff like that is cool. But he was talking about, he's like, we don't really have a lot of guidance because I think the schools are still trying to figure it out, and it's state by state. So I think Zach Carter said something today that kind of caught me off guard. He's like, yeah, I think there'll be some new rules in the future, and it's almost like, it's kind of like either the wild, wild west or they're guinea pigs right now, because they didn't really know what was going to happen. The NCAA fought it and then dragged its feet. And then all the other states, you know, people in Georgia or people in Mississippi are like, hey, why don't we have this? Florida can do it. California can do it. Georgia can do it. So I think it's kind of just, it's not well regulated right now.
Right.
I think guys are making money. I think Ventrell and Zach both wanted to go to the mall that's attached to the hotel.
Yeah, I mean, the actual law itself is only, I think, 12 pages long, and it's in that legal, you know, format where you have wide margins and, you know, big font, big text, everything else. So there's not a lot of guidance in there. I am starting to see, and I think you'll see more of this. I saw a couple players from the University of Iowa went to a mall or a restaurant and did autograph signings. I know Spencer Rattler did, you know, the Oklahoma quarterback did some signings. So I think you're going to see more of that. I think that that's probably the most likely thing that you'll see is name and merchandise stuff with obviously some tweets and things of that nature. But I was having this conversation with the guys from Roof Soldier of like, how much is a tweet worth? Right. And I think that there's going to be a lot of figuring out what a tweet is worth. There's going to be a lot of analytics that are going to need to be provided behind it. Who's your demographics? What kind of, you know, audience do you have? So I think that there's going to be a lot of things that settle out. And I think that there's some, here's another one. There's some pussyfooting going around right now around what companies are going to
do. I know the meaning of that, Dan.
What do you think about this? So TexAgs, huge independent company, paying whatever the sum is. I mean, they paid, you know, $10,000 to get these exclusive interviews. What do you think about journalists or outlets like that doing it? And I think there was some outrage about Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking like, hey, like ESPN does that. They buy the rights to you know, to stream the game or to broadcast the game. And with that comes getting to talk to the head coaches on the Thursday before the game, getting to talk to players and doing all this other stuff. So I'm like, well, why are you taking, I mean, TexAgs has been around for, I think more than like 15 years, a local, internet company in, or internet site in College Station. And I'm like, why is there outrage about that now? But what do you think about, let's say, you know, Rivals, for instance, wanted to pay and say, hey, we're going to do Zach Carter is going to do a story with us leading up to every game. Do you think it's wise, or do you think that's cool for people who are journalists and supposed to be covering to then start paying for interviews like that?
I think they're going to start paying certain kids. Of course, they're going to try to, like, certain brands, but they're like everybody else. They're trying to wait and see what these kids' worth is before they just start throwing ridiculous money at a college kid. Mm-hmm. But I think eventually, like, the captains on the team, the players that some of these coaches want speaking to the media, of course, it's still up to the player, though, right? Like,
yeah,
it's still up to the player. I just think it's too many players for them to lock it all up. I do have a take that, like, that type of media is probably going to be less – it ain't going to be the same. Now they could go to right to Jacob Copeland. You want to put Zach Carter in front of the media, but now they could go right to Jacob Copeland and find out what he thinks about the game. And that could be a little different than what a player like Zach Carter would say, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain ways to, like we used to get asked, like, during games. I mean, the guys don't have to talk after a game. And we used to be asked, like, hey, who do you want to talk? Obviously, you know, you're going to talk to the quarterback. You're going to talk to, if a guy, you know, ran for 200 yards, you're going to talk to him. but guys can say no. And I think you're in a situation now where some of these websites or reporters or places are like, listen, I don't need to use the school anymore. If I can give a guy, let's say I want to give him $200 for a 20-minute interview, 10-minute interview, whatever right. he thinks his time is worth and what you think it's worth to you, I think you just circumnavigate the school now.
Right.
Yeah, no, I sorry, I lost you guys. My internet cut out. I, Nick, on your point, and I'm not sure if Silk made this point, is it's going to be interesting to see if the media departments at these schools start to limit what some of these guys are saying, right? I mean, maybe Tex Ags paid you $10,000. Well, maybe they say, hey, I mean, if you divulge too much, maybe you're playing less, right? Maybe your time on the field that you used to have is going to go to somebody else.
You still got to recruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I'm not taking a side. I'm not saying that that's what I want to happen, but I'm just curious to say, what if that does happen? You know, you're right. I mean, there's obviously recruiting that goes into it, but you know, if our media department wants you to say one thing, and then, you know, because what are you going to do? Fine these guys? I mean, that's what happens in the NFL if these guys, you know, speak out of turn or say something. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm watching.
Yeah, I got too many fire ideas. So I don't want to say too much, man. But I just think the way media is going, everybody likes personal transparency, vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I think you're gonna be able to get that, and not this cookie cutter media stuff that you're getting. Like everybody, I don't watch post games no more. From a coach, the players, it's all cookie cutter stuff. If it's raw stuff, or like, man, I just lost. Like, you know, like I'm a little pissed, and it's coming from players with passion that. It's a little unfiltered. Like, I'm tuning in. I'm giving that dude $6-$7 to watch whatever he got going on his Patreon, because I want to know what Jacob Copeland may say behind them gold teeth on a random Sunday morning or Saturday night after a loss.
And I think to bring up the Tracy Howard interview you did, I think that's kind of why podcasting took off, because you've got a forum where you can just sit down and have real, honest, vulnerable conversations that aren't, you know, restricted by time. If we wanted to podcast for 6 hours, we could sit here for 6 hours and release it. And you know, after a game, you know, hey, you've got 7 minutes with this guy and you've got to bounce around asking questions. I think it's, you know, for something like our podcast, to bring a guy on and be able to just sit here and just chop it up. And doesn't have to be all about X's and O's and who's your next opponent, but just actually learning about the person behind the helmet. Because a lot of times we don't get those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like that take, Nick. And finally, commentary from Dan Mullen on recruiting, basically saying that he doesn't rank these guys.
Flip the switch to violence.
Yeah, which I think is an interesting take to have, but basically that, you know, he recruits his guys. It doesn't need y'all's opinion on the guys that he recruits, which I thought was an interesting take. You know, obviously shouting out the guys that did commit and sign with Florida, but, you know, certainly that was a take that I don't know if the internet wanted to hear.
It, judging from my mentions, no. They did not want to hear.
Especially after just missing out on Tyler Booker.
Yeah.
Nobody's trying to hear none of that.
No. I mean, Florida right now on Rivals is ranked behind Vanderbilt in recruiting. So maybe you should start looking at the stars and going after them.
I think they're doing a good job. They got a solid recruiting class right now. I think every kid that they got, besides that DB, the last DB they took was a little suspect. But I like every other commit right now. I'm not going to lie to you. Guys with high ceilings. But we're just still missing on the studs, man. And we could keep on harping on that, man, about Bama taking everything in this state. But look at Bama. We just talked about this last show. Like I could be mad at Dan Mullen. Like, you know what I'm saying? If I'm unhinged and not stable as a person. But reality says that, yo, like, he's going against the greatest football coach of all time for offensive tackle, a position they churn out first rounders annually. He ain't finna win that. He got better facilities. He got championships, and he's the GOAT. Like, he's gonna get who he want.
Yeah, I think Dan made that. I think maybe it might have been on Twitter, Dan. You were like,
I did. Yeah, that was
like the guy, the players they're recruiting now, Florida, they were like 2 years old and 4 years old when Florida was let's just say relevant. Because, like, listen, the floor has been kind of relevant, like, the first 2 years of Mac. But then that was down. But in terms of a national scene, Florida hasn't even been relevant right. outside of a couple years in these kids' lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Not yeah, like wanna, competing for championships. Hasn't even been nationally relevant.
I think sometimes, like, traditionally, yeah, relevance – go ahead, yeah, my bad.
No, you can go ahead.
No, you're good.
I'm not defending – my take. I defended enough on the internet. This is the comment, right? Is I am not saying that Florida is recruiting well. I'm not saying that they're recruiting poorly. I'm not saying anything about Florida, and I'm not settling. I mean, that's the thing on the internet. Everybody's like, oh, why are you settling? Like, why do you want this team to be bad? It's like, I don't, right? Like, at the end of the day, I don't care who is the head coach at the University of Florida. I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. I don't care who the defensive coordinator. I don't care about anybody. I think that they're all great people, and I want people to be successful. And whoever the coach at the University of Florida is, I'm going to support them because that's my alma mater. That's a team that I cheer for, obviously in varying levels of support. My comment was, when you're going up against Alabama, it's an impossible conversation to – or it's an impossible thing to reason in your head. If you're a top-flight offensive line prospect and you have the opportunity at Alabama, why wouldn't you?
It's a lottery ticket.
Right. Like, if you don't make it to the NFL, you are likely going to be playing in multiple national championships. You're likely going to be playing in the SEC championship – in at least 3 of the 4 years. There's an opportunity for you to consistently be relevant and be around winners all the time. I get why a kid does it. Florida doesn't have a great recruiting staff. We've known that. We knew that before Dan Mullen got hired. We knew that as he's made additions to his staff. They've gotten marginally better.
The staff has gotten better every time he made a change from his original staff. And have you see, because we winning some battles against Bama here and there. We're not going to win all of them. But I think we need to have that conversation, man. Heavisy probably need to see his way out soon.
And you are maybe right, right? But what is the first thing?
I'm right.
When we talked on even the Gator panel like 3 years ago, before Stephen Galen really existed, right? What was the one thing we talked about Dan Mullen is that he is loyal to a fault to his staff. Right. And so the guys that have left, he's improved and he's made those changes. But if you think that like Dan Mullen is going to go and make these wholesale changes to the staff, I just don't see it. So it's one of those things where we said, hey, let's accept that this roster or that this group of staff members is great at developing talent. And that's what they are. But like to get upset that a kid goes to Alabama instead of Florida.
No, I mean, I get it, though. Line, like, this is why I get it. Because, okay, you're saying like, yeah, we're going to lose to Bama, but we also know that Heavisy losing people to anybody. So that's the frustration. It ain't just he losing somebody to Bama. He losing somebody to damn near Santa Fe.
Yeah, no, and I'm not defending John Heavisy, right? And that's the thing, right? I wasn't defending anything about Florida. It's just, hey, you have a kid, Tyler Booker, a kid from, I think, Maryland, that's at IMG. So it's not like he's an in-state kid. He's not like he's a legacy or anything else. You know, he chooses to go to Alabama. We get all up in arms about it.
Right.
You know, I think that attention can be diverted elsewhere. I'm not saying that recruiting is going well on the offensive line either.
Oh, no, definitely. Like, I said, we got some good kids. We got some talented kids. I like the talent they bring on this roster. I think Billy Gonzalez is recruiting at an elite level. I like the way Crime Dog is on the scenes. Jules' name is ringing bells. All the new guys. C-Rob has always been a recruiter. He's solid. Yeah. I think David Turner's a good recruiter. You know what I'm saying? He's in it for a guy that I think we're going to beat Bama for at defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Heavisy, come on, man. We lost another lineman this week. A kid that made his top three. I'm forgetting his name right now. We're not in that. And the school, Tennessee's in that.
Right.
What is Tennessee selling that Heavisy can't sell?
I agree. I get it.
It's to me. So like last year during the season, everyone's saying, if Ty Grantham comes back out in the second half of this game, I'm never watching another game again. And I'm like, listen, Dan, Dan had fired one coach in his entire career as a head coach, and he replaced that guy with Ty Grantham. I was surprised when Dan made two moves. In the secondary this year. And I just don't I don't know what would have to happen for Dan Mullen to fire John Hevesy, someone he's been with since they were both assistants at Utah, at Bowling Green.
Yeah, Bowling Green. Yeah, yeah, I mean, when Mullen
that's his dog. Like, he's not letting Hevesy would have to, like,
we gotta
get arrested on some charges.
We got to plant some meth on him or something.
I think Hevesy the only coach that went over with him to Mississippi State?
No, Billy.
Oh, yeah, Billy G. Did he? I thought Billy G went to LSU
he's at Georgia, right?
I think he went to LSU first, didn't he? Wasn't that the sticky note situation?
That was LSU.
Billy Gonzalez went to LSU in Illinois before Mississippi State.
I don't know why I thought Billy left. No. Billy left after Percy, like, lumped him up, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah, I thought that there were – no, that was a maybe. I think that was the LSU. I think he went to LSU first and then Illinois. I think he made it back to Mississippi State, or he definitely didn't go with him to Mississippi State. So I think John Hevesy may have been the only coach to go with him, and that was 13 years ago. So I don't see Hevesy leaving. And I think that
I can't just give my friends money like that. Sorry.
Yeah.
You sure so?
I promise you, bro. You're about to see. I cannot just give my friends money, man.
I mean, there's got to be frustration. There's got to be something going on to consistently lose these guys, right? I mean, Florida has recruited some okay offensive linemen. They've got a lot of players that have potential, but, man, to consistently lose is tough.
Yeah. Okay, Spence. That's where I like that Spence thinks. I can't read that on the show.
Kevin O'Sullivan once told me, so I asked him about players. I think Baseball America had just written a story about them being like pitcher U, something like that, because they had a run of great pitchers that were all drafted first, second round. And I asked about him developing them, and he goes, great players make you look like a really good coach. And we're talking about how great this coaching staff is at developing. Cool. Go develop the kid who's already developed and made himself a five-star as a 17, 18-year-old, and see how far you can develop him in the 3 years you're going to have him. Instead of taking, you know, no disrespect to any of the kids, but taking these guys who are projects and not going to get on the field for 3 years at best, you know, as a redshirt sophomore, and developing them. So I would like to see, because I think that these guys, they can coach, they can develop some players, but it's not enough. At Mississippi State, it's fine to settle on some guys and develop them and take your time. At Florida, you shouldn't be settling for guys. You should be, and like Silk said, Florida's going to beat Alabama some, you know, but I think you just need to compete more. And I was asked today, is Florida in rebuild or reload mode? And
We're not rebuild at all. I mean, I don't think
it's reload though. I wouldn't say either one, but I'm just like, they haven't recruited at the level of an Alabama, where Alabama can lose eight guys in the first round and they're still going to be favored to go undefeated and win again. Like, you're not recruiting at that level.
I'm going to be honest. I think right now I would be like in some like reload mentality if we had an offensive line.
Yeah,
because the skill positions on offense is crazy. Like, we got some talent at running back, wide receiver. We're solid at tight end, nothing too crazy special like last year. I believe in Emory Jones' ability. I just don't know what the offensive line is going to bring us. I think our defense is going to be good, just from like the standpoint of us having a good defensive tackle rotation. Us having new DB coaches. Like, this is small little things like that is going to fix those problems. But I don't think we're reloading because of the standpoint. Like, we don't have that mindset because we don't know what our offensive line is about to do when they get out there.
But that's every year. Blow up the offense. You know, right. if your offensive line is buns, like, it doesn't matter if you've got first rounders at receiver, first rounders at running back, and a great quarterback. If your quarterback's running for his life, there's only so much you can do.
It starts in the trenches, so you can't have one of your worst recruiters in the trenches. That's just basic stuff. Like, you either need to switch up something, maybe with that extra coach, maybe we do one DB coach and get an extra offensive line coach to help him or something. But right now, development, I ain't seeing it, or recruiting, I ain't seeing it.
That's something we were talking about when they were looking at getting the new, you know, making new hires. I was like, would you get another offensive line coach and then just have one secondary coach, I think you probably need, you know, like that would have worked more when like Will Muschamp was here. Because, hey, Muschamp's the head coach, but he's going to coach the safeties. And then, you know, you can have, you know, just one guy coach the cornerbacks. But
okay. Why do you think he's so bad at recruiting? Let me just ask you that.
Hevesy?
Yeah. He's a different kind of dude. He's a strange
Everybody says
dude.
That, but like the fans want to know, like, why don't nobody want to play for this guy?
I think it's just effort. I think it's effort. I don't think that some of the guys on the staff put in as much time into just reaching out to kids from an early standpoint. You're talking to these guys when they're sophomores, juniors, building that relationship. And then just reaching out, even to like they do a really good job of it when like a kid doesn't get into school and goes JUCO. Like they were talking to Juwan Black more than they're talking to like the five-star, four-star offensive lineman that is like in the current recruiting class. I think it's just an effort thing, to be honest with you. I could be wrong, but I think that's
definitely him. I think it's effort. I think he's a little old school. He don't understand technology. He's not gonna kiss kids' ass. It takes a lot of that to recruit these days. I think he's just too old school and too stuck in his ways to be even a decent recruiter. Right now, it's just pathetic, bro.
They need to get a couple young GAs or some analysts. They need to get them Hevesy's Twitter password.
No, just get a new offensive line coach.
Or that.
Yeah, get them all these interns and getting like a whole tech support staff behind him.
I don't know why the relationship between John Hevesy and Dan Mullen is so strong. I don't know if they're like just best friends. I don't know if there's a relationship that he understands the offense or whatever it is. I mean, I think it's curious that, you know, he's never done more, right? He became the offensive line coach at Mississippi State and has been in an offensive line, you know, role. You've never seen him want for more or be considered for more. But it is curious because he's never been an elite offensive line coach. He's never been an elite recruiter. He's not always been good at either as well, right? And you can't blame not having his players. You can't blame a lack of development by somebody else because it's him, right? So there's I don't know. But he's a different dude. I mean, as a guy that worked around him for, you know, he was the offensive tackle and tight end coach at Florida. He's a tight end coach first, and then I think he picked up OTs. But he's a different kind of dude. He, you know, he had some issues where he, you know, flared up and said some things to some players, you know, was it last year or the year before? I think that he's an old school, different guy that doesn't necessarily relate to people. And, you know, I think other people do a better job at it.
He's the coach that you like. He'll never be on a segment of Mic'd Up at practice.
Enough of him. Have y'all seen Phil Trotwine? Oh my god, man! What you
bro,
say?
He is Phil Trotwine. He played.
Oh my god! I was about to ask y'all, bro. No, don't tell me. That's why I stopped y'all from the madness. Let's talk about something else. I got a candidate. I already want to hire somebody.
You're filling the position that's already filled.
Yeah, I'm just projecting for the offseason, you know. Phil, man. Phil's on the trail doing what he got to do, man. You know?
Yeah, I like Phil Trotwine a lot. He wanted to come on the show last year, but Penn State said no.
A lot by 21 Savage from Spotify.
Yikes.
Yeah, I like 21 Savage too.
That's a Dan's bender. Yeah. Alex is not Savage. Trying to let Dan stop the bender.
They don't. They want me to play some 21 Savage, I guess. But no, Phil would be an excellent coach at the University of Florida. He's a great recruiter. He's a very talented NFL guy. Obviously played at Florida, so I would love to see that connection to Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, we're not going to fire him on this show this week.
All right, positions filled. What you talking about,
bro? Smooth. He was vibing to begin with, and then we just talked about him too long.
That was an hour-long segment on SEC Media Days. I think it's time to move on. Before we do that, let's give a shout-out to our friend Lee Friedland of the law firm of Friedland & Associates. So auto accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home cases, criminal matters, and personal injury cases in every jurisdiction within the state of Florida. Give him a call, 1-800-95-INJURED, or visit him at yourfightourbattle.com. Again, 1-800-95-INJURED, yourfightourbattle.com. In recruiting news, we talked to you about offensive lineman Tyler Booker, who announced last week that he was heading to Alabama. Florida came in probably second or maybe somewhere in the top five for his services. But he's going to be heading to Alabama. Other big-time prospects, five-star linebacker Sean Murphy has announced that he's going to be committing in just a couple of weeks on August 1st. It looks to be a Florida and LSU battle. Some folks right now are giving the edge to LSU. Some folks are giving the edge to Florida, especially because of his relationship with Christian Robinson, linebackers coach. I know that Jeremiah Williams has a is a similar story of a guy that they thought was leaning elsewhere and ended up committing to the University of Florida. So I know C-Rob likes his chances, but Silk, your thoughts on Sean Murphy?
Let me give my sources. I think I would say us right now. I like C-Rob in this battle. This is different. It's a difficult one to call. I got to hit up Connor and some other people behind the scenes to see what they think. But they were feeling really good about Sean before, but they felt good about some guys in Miss too. So I'm not about to get excited at all. But last I heard, he was leaning towards us.
All right.
Nick, what are you hearing from your forecast and the folks over at Rivals.com?
Connor, but no more than me. I'm chin deep in. No surprise. I'm chin deep in football. I told you, football season starts. I'm dealing with the guys that
– Nick's on his first day. Nick's on his first day of work in months, and he's already chin deep. So
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, whatever pays the bills. So outside of that, tight end Mac Markaway from St. Louis, Missouri. Has announced that he is going to be committing on July 28th. His finalists include Florida, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Iowa. Alabama has an offer. It seems, reading some of the tea leaves, that it might be a Florida-Notre Dame battle. I know we have recently seen Tim Brewster tweet out some commentary. It's always cryptic, never know who it might be about, but tweeted out some things the other day. Mac Markaway is very much considered one of the top tight end prospects in the country. Florida is looking to bring in two, adding to C.J. Hawkins, who they have from down here in the Tampa Bay area. So Notre Dame, Florida battle. I think that Florida might be a favorite here. But Silk, Nick, your thoughts? Well, Nick, we'll just defer to Connor the next time he's on.
That date right now, like he had a visit set up to Notre Dame for that same day to his commitment. So if that visit is still on, I would have to say Notre Dame.
That's some good deductive reasoning there. I did not know that was his visit date.
That's what they had on the side. I was just reading. I went and checked out his profile, and he had a visit set up for Notre Dame on that same day. So if he canceled that visit, I feel great. But if he's going on it, I think tea leaves is there, right?
Yeah, that's good. So, I mean, I think that he's an outstanding player. Yeah, I haven't heard his name as much. When I was texting some folks earlier today, I was kind of surprised that Florida was as in it as they are. He's ranked by 247 as the number four tight end in the country, number 93 overall. So, really solid player, 6'4", 250. Not a guy that we've talked about much on this show, but it'd be interesting on the 28th if Florida does land his commitment. But if, like you said, Silk, if he's heading to Notre Dame that day, then that would be very awkward. Very awkward. Let's get into some other news here. Kyer Elam, 5'6", so was announced to the Bednarik watch list today. Very good.
Shout out to the 5'6", man. I expect big things out of Kyrie this year. First round draft pick type stuff. Lock down one side of the field. Mm-hmm. Make Jaden Hill's job very difficult. Jaden Hill, who's ever on the other side, better bring their work pill every Saturday because they're getting a lot of action.
Yeah, that's like the offensive coordinator is looking at film leading up to the game, and it's like, well, we're not throwing at five. I don't care who's on the other side of the field. We'll try our luck with that. So you're going to have plenty of opportunity if you're the cornerback opposite of
Kyrie. Yep, you can't hide. You know, it is.
I saw his I like this. I saw Stingley today. He was here for LSU. I think those guys are, like, connected all year because it's going to be who's the best cornerback. And I think you're going to be talking – we're going to be talking about, like, week to week and then certainly towards the end of the year, who's going to be the first cornerback off the board when the draft comes, who's the best cornerback in the country. I think it's going to be between those two.
Already.
I like that. I like that. Let's see. I think that that's it in football news. I don't think that I missed much. The 2021-22 basketball non-conference schedule was announced. Florida will be playing Elon, Florida State, and UW-Milwaukee at home to start the season. Then they get into the Fort Myers tip-off with Cal Berkeley, Ohio State, and Seton Hall. They'll have Troy at home. Then they'll travel to Oklahoma, followed up by Texas Southern and North Florida at home. Then they'll play in the Basketball Hall of Fame Invitational against Maryland. They'll play against USF in the Orange Bowl Classic. And then they'll play Stony Brook at home. You have a long Christmas break. You get into the SEC schedule. And then you have Oklahoma State for the SEC Big 12 Challenge, which is going to be in Gainesville this year. In other news, women's basketball head coach Cam Neubauer has stepped down as the women's basketball head coach. You may remember Cam Neubauer from his time on Stadium and Gale last year, but he has announced just a couple of weeks after signing his extension that he will be stepping down. Kelly Ray Finley, who was an assistant coach with the team, has been named interim head coach for the Florida Gators women's basketball program this year, and they will then start their search for a new head coach of the Florida Gator women's athletic or a basketball team. Pardon me.
Yeah, that
surprising.
Timing is sus.
Yeah, very sus timing. You know, I think it was 6 weeks after. Because he was his
three-year extension.
His extension was announced the same time as Mike White, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the same email, too. I think I don't even think they separated.
it was just a footnote.
Yeah, they just tossed it in there as like a little bonus. Like they supersized it real quick.
Yeah, they announced Cam Neubauer's extension, and then at the bottom was a one-liner about Mike White getting extended.
Yeah, by the way. it's like at the end of the car commercial, they do all that crazy speech real quick.
You talk real quick. It's all the hidden fees.
Yeah. That's what they did to us.
Man, oh man. So very suspective timing. Very suspicious. All right. Everybody's favorite time of the show: buy or sell. Silk, you're up first. Buy or sell? Anthony Richardson averages more than 9 plays per game.
More? Well, I want to spend this
or money, 9. Man. Sorry, the number is 9. Buy or sell 9 plus or 8 minus.
Unfortunately, I'm about to sell that, Daniel.
Okay.
That? What?
You 9? 9 is a lot.
You put him in a year, on a short leash.
In a year? No, I didn't put him on a short leash. I said I post things. I told you about that. I post things. That don't mean I actually believe it, but you got to throw out that hypothetical. Okay. So I think Emory's going to have a great year, one and done, out of here. 9 plays. I thought Emory would average 9 with a non-mobile quarterback and the style difference being so you know, different. I thought that we would see at least 9 snaps a game from Emory. So with those guys' game being so similar, there's no way he gets more than 9 a game, in my opinion.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth there. That's – to me, I'm with you. Like, you had two totally different stylistic quarterbacks. My concern last year was I thought Emory would get a lot more touches, a lot more run. And I was like, oh, but then are you at the point where whenever Emory comes in, you know it's a running play or an option, something like that. And then how you disguise it. Well, you didn't disguise it. You just kept him on the bench holding the clipboard instead. And now with I think when we started talking about this, we were talking about Tebow and looking at what Tebow's – freshman year was and how many touches did he get with Chris Leak. And I think, you know, I don't think we get into that Tebow territory. And I think that the number nine was Tim's number. So I'll sell with you. Bro, I got money to spend because I haven't bought a damn thing in weeks.
Well, you frugal as hell.
I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy that he gets 10 plays a game. I think that will be helped by the fact that Florida is playing some games where I think that they should get out to some early leads. I think that he'll get, you know, 17, 18, 19 snaps in some of those games. It'll up his average. So I'm going to buy just because I think that Florida blows out FAU, Samford, and USF and Vanderbilt. All right, buy or sell.
We had blowouts last year, and mm-hmm.
I don't know if I believe the hype of Emory Jones being on a Heisman campaign, which is why I think Kyle Trask stayed in more than he did.
Maybe,
but you also sold. I bought, so I could be the one with egg on my face.
Take it.
We'll revisit all the buying and selling for sure.
Yeah, no. Shout out to our friend on Twitter, Ben, who's keeping track of all of these.
Ben, know I got all the bread, bro. He know what's up.
So he's going to end up owing the podcast money at the end of the day. He's going to say, all right, Dan, it's time for our monthly distribution. Be like, sir. All right.
He spent it all on nonsense, man.
Buy or sell, Ventrell Miller is the leading tackler on the Gators roster.
I'll buy that.
Boom. I'm putting money down. Yeah. Yeah, leading tackler.
Big
I
bread.
Think he might get some Antonio Morrison treatment. I remember Morrison's like junior, senior year. If he was in the neighborhood of a tackle, they were like, yo, give him a half. There were some plays where I was like, what? He got credited? I think he got some.
I just looked it up. Yeah, in 2015, he had 61 assisted tackles.
Yeah, yeah. Just give him a half there, and then all of a sudden, you got 150 tackles in a year, and you're like, what? I think he's just the last person to jump on top of a pile. I'll just give him 0.5 for that. Like,
so you may have been talking about the 2014 season, Nick, where he had 71 assisted tackles.
Yeah, there you go.
And the next most on the team was 43.
Yeah. you get the hometown stat guy. Just throwing out assists and those add up.
Yeah, no, I buy Ventrell Miller being the leading tackler. Do you guys buy or sell that he has more tackles than 86, which is what he had this season? It's just a random number, but
yeah, I think so. I asked him today too. He played through a lot of injuries last year. He was banged up. I think, you know, he might have been able to get like some scholarships, some NIL money from like a cortisone company. The way he was playing through like shoulder injuries, ankle injuries and stuff. I think a healthy Ventrell, he's just got a good head for the game. Like he's a smart football player. He's going to put himself in the right spots. He's not good against the pass in coverage and stuff, but I really like him as a middle linebacker.
Yeah, Nick, speaking, can you do a brief aside? I know Dan Mullen talked a little bit about the Gators' defenses at SEC Media Day today. Did he say anything of real note other than he didn't think that they were as bad as maybe the stats indicated?
Yeah, he thought they played very, very well in some stretches, and that because their offense was so explosive that teams had to play them differently and maybe, you know, had more opportunities.
Fascinating. So
that was a take.
That's a take. All right. Silk, you bought it. I'm going to buy as well. And finally, DeMarcus Bowman, buy or sell. He has 8 or more carries this per game this season.
I'm selling that.
Okay.
Really?
Nick?
Yeah, I think, come on, bro. We got a million running backs in one ball, and Dan Mullen's going to get them seniors running carries. It's echoing, bro.
Yeah, I hear it too.
So, Nick, I take it by your really comment that you think that DeMarcus Bowman will have more than 8 carries.
No, I'm selling. I just thought so.
Oh.
No, I can't buy that right now. I have awareness and like simple stuff. I can read a room pretty good. So
how's his injury situation going?
He should be good to go. He should be good to go. I think he dealt with it in the spring. Obviously kept him off the field. I think he got like scoped. You go and get cleaned out, and then you're ready to go by the time fall starts.
Very good. I'm going to sell as well. I thought I was going to get one with Silk there. So give us a Brunt ad read.
You be trying to set me up, bro. That's crazy.
I know. Sorry. It's all part of the game. Let's get a Brunt ad read, and then let's get to a Gator News of the Week.
From the panhandle to the Keys, my man Greg has the best customer service, the best insurance that you can find in the industry. Visit him at bruntinsurance.com, whether it's life insurance, auto insurance, motorcycles, renter's insurance for apartment, business insurance, commercial insurance. Whatever you need, my man Greg can take care of you. 954-589-2204 or bruntinsurance.com, man, for all your insurance and financial services needs. Greg, I see you Saturday at Bubbas and Bowties at the Kushaws, man. I hope you went to go see Hong Kong Rudy. Andy, I'm sorry.
He was here. So what's funny is I didn't see him this time of year. Didn't know that when we were talking about him on the show, he was still in Tampa. I looked up. I was like, when's the next time Andy going to be here? Well, he left last weekend or last Monday morning. So missed him this time. He'll be back soon. But
let's give Kwame a shout. Real quick, Kwame hit me up, the diehard guy, friend of the show for Victory Roll-Up. He is a – bro, that's a real guy. I'm in New York, and Hong Kong Andy gets me suits as well.
How about it?
Yeah, he works for, like, the government and, like, Congress and stuff. So I was like, maybe Dan got a real good suit guy. I should be nervous on Saturday.
You will one day learn to trust me. All right. I've never let the style never let style down in front of you. So, all right, let's see. In Gator News of the Week, not a ton happening. Let me dive into this quickly, and then I'll get into some Gators in the Olympics. Shout out to Billy Horschel, Sam Horsfield, and I believe it's Yushin Lin who all made the cut at the Open Championship. They all finished above the cut line. So shout out to the three of them. It's a tough tournament. It was a tough couple rounds. But shout out to Billy Horschel and Sam Horsfield, who are graduates of the University of Florida. And then Yushin Lin is a transfer from the University of Southern California. He just joined the team back in December. So shout out to him for making that cut line. It's a tough tournament to perform well at. So congratulations to them. In Olympics, got some facts for you here. 31 Gators have qualified to compete in the 2020 Olympics in 8 different sports, which are basketball, baseball, golf, gymnastics, soccer, softball, swimming, and track and field. They're going to represent 15 countries, the United States, the U.S., Virgin Islands, Uruguay, Venezuela, Serbia, Puerto Rico, Liberia, Jordan, Japan, Jamaica, Germany, France, Canada, Bahamas, and Australia. So congratulations to all of those 31 folks representing those 15 countries. The Gators will have now, because softball is being added to the Olympics, the Gators have now had Olympic athletes in baseball, basketball, beach volleyball, bobsled, diving, golf, gymnastics, judo, soccer, swimming, team handball, tennis, track and field, indoor volleyball, and then, of course, softball. So best of luck to all 31 Gators that are heading to the Olympic Games. And then finally, in women's lacrosse, the Gators added a defenseman, Leah Lingo from Virginia Tech, as a graduate transfer. So welcome to Gator Nation, Leah Lingo. And that concludes your Gator News of the Week. It's time for Manscaped and then take it home.
Oh, shout out to the great. It's hot, man. That's first of all, like the heat is ignorant in 2021. I don't know. Maybe the heat wasn't the same because it was in like quarantine last year. I think we quarantined the heat last year because it didn't feel like this. That's first of all. But shout out to my ball deodorant, man. Kept me cool, calm, and collected at the Kushaws this weekend while doing that fire interview with Tracy Howard. It was hot out, man. Our AC went out for a few little minutes at the Kushaws. I had to get an AC guy in there a little bit. Everybody in that mug was looking a little toasty and a little hot. I was cool as a fan. Shout out to the great folks at Manscaped for that ball deodorant, man. Just kept your boy cool and chilled. Coupon code SG at checkout for 20% off. Free shipping. Dan, you're getting washed. You're getting old. I know you're doing benders, but you're about, I'm going to give you another 2 years away from getting this weed whacker for your nostrils, my man.
Oh, very good.
No more benders and a weed whacker. It's in your future. I put that to use as well this weekend. I'm going to make sure everything's fine-tuned for the birthday weekend. No nose hairs, no ear hairs. Manscaped, I appreciate you good folks, man.
Absolutely. Love the folks over at Manscaped. Well, Nick, this concludes our show this week. Enjoy the rest of your, let's enjoy the rest of your time there in Birmingham. I know you're hanging out with Albaverde and the boys, so enjoy your bender this evening.
Shout out to Albaverde. He's rapping at my shindig this weekend.
He told me he had a gig.
Yeah, buddy. we hanging out a little bit.
We're going with something new. Just came out Friday, I think. Pop Smoke's posthumous album. We're gonna go with song 3, Television.
You're good.
Television. I'm a hip hop guy. This will be my first time listening to this because I don't like Pop Smoke. He's a little that voice. I can't do it.
I like Pop. Album's kind of weird. I mean, it definitely wasn't. I mean, 20 songs, 56 minutes. This one's like 3.5. So like, this is like almost, you know, a good portion of the entire album. But I think it's like when somebody dies unexpectedly like that, you probably have parts of songs recorded but not, you know, fully fleshed out.
Right.
Who gets to pick the track list? Is it like his producer? Is it his family? Is it?
I was wondering that. I mean, I'm sure it's a producer, you know, that's picking the track list.
No. The estate. Whoever owns the estate makes the final say.
That's what I was wondering too. That's what I was guessing. So,
hopefully, the money is going to, you know, the family.
His estate.
Yeah,
bro. Yeah, he's going to the estate. He's making crazy amount of. I mean, it's sad that he died so young, man. His prime, his future was crazy bright, but he's been charting like crazy for forever. Him and a couple other guys that passed, they just stayed at the top of the charts for the last, like, year or so, man. Shout out to Nipsey. He's at the top of the charts as well. I just get out of here, man. Same corner, same time?
Same corner, same time.
Already.
See you guys Saturday.
Nick, bring the whole family, man. The kids and all, man.
No kids. No kids on Father's Day.
We'll see you guys next week.
Already.
Tripping. Wildin' on television, you could still see a nigga television pimpin', burn these boy pimpin' different. Yeah. D-boy.
Pop was here last week. He was talking about Brooklyn and the place Brooklyn was at, how they were really like thriving right now, but he was, you know, he was trying to pull people up with him. And he wasn't even to where he was about to be. He just was trying to, he was well on his way. It's just tragic. 20 years old, rest in peace. God bless Pop Smoke.
Look, nigga, we made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Nigga, we made it. Thank God that I made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Look, mama, I made it. Look, I remember the days. Same bitch for a week straight. I used to eat 50 cent cake. Now it's for leaps. It's for leaps for the steak. And hella thoughts up in the rave. I can't wipe that thought till that bitch get out my face. We killed your big brother. We killed your little brother. Now it's for leaps. It's for leaps for the steak. And hella thoughts up in the rave. Sit up in the lamb, skirt off. I spent 50 up in bird off. I got shit you never heard of. Mike, I don't care what it costs, no. And I always keep a pull. Rain, snow, I did 100 on a pro. If you drop in the woo, we come where you live.
Black 9 infrared. Pull up and empty the clip. Whoa. Dre had the strap or something. And the floor's moving reckless. Please do not play with me. Nigga, I keep a K with me. Look, nigga, we made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Nigga, we made it. Thank God that I made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Look, mama, I made it. Nigga, we made it. Huh? We come from the trenches, nigga. Trap, trap. Same fit for a week straight. You know what I'm saying? 50 cent cake, now we in Philly State.
Look, Tyler got the album of the year, for now. But Pop about to drop, I see the platinum in the clouds. Now Push about to drop, so real trappers stick around. The crown is only for the king, they trying to place it on a clown. I declare war, nickname he sell raw. Different city, same ghetto, bring the woos on tour. Push start, drop top, 812, two door. Baby Rover, Benz, coupe, bitch, you got it, choose yours. How could I not? Woo! How could I not? When the brick is 36, bitch, how could I stop? These Richard Mills are one of one. Shit, how could I watch? We made it, we made it. Whether you like it or not.
Look, nigga, we made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Nigga, we made it. Thank God that I made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Look, mama, I made it.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.